Are we recording, Dave? Is it recording on? Hallelujah. Okay. What if everything you said became true? We're going to take a look at that. Let me read you a story first. This really happened many years ago. A professor at a university in Philadelphia was known for his extremely boring lectures. Anybody ever been to college or high school? At the beginning of one semester, an innovative class decided to have some fun and divided the class in half into two teams to play baseball without the professor knowing about it. The professor always repeated himself with certain cliche phrases. If the professor said the phrase, "On the other hand," then that was a base hit for the team that was up. They'd mark it down. If he said, "By the same token," that was a strikeout. If he said, "And so on," that was a stolen base. So they assigned all of his cliche phrases a baseball play, and they kept track on score with half of the class playing the other half of the class listening to his lecture to get those phrases down to play the game of baseball. On the final day of class, the impossible happened. It was the end of the semester, and the score was tied with bases loaded. The class was approaching the end of the class bell, and it looked like all semester long, this long game would end in a tie. Then the professor said the phrase that meant home run. The entire left side of the class leaped out of their seats and began cheering. Though deeply appreciative, the professor was quoted later as having wondered why only one half of the students in his class had been enthusiastic about his lectures. Funny. The point of the story is this. Things are said, but not everybody hears the same thing. The professor was thinking he was saying one thing, but the people were hearing another thing. They were hearing the one thing, but they were also hearing something else. And why is it that the same exact gospel message that we responded to, we heard it differently than the rest of the world did? For some reason, truth came into our hearts. It was like a light went on the inside of us, and yet a certain thing was said, but we received it differently. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith." You can say a lot of stuff, but only the faith stuff counts. Now, faith will work in reverse for you, too. Anybody ever think that they need to run to the hospital and worry somebody out of the hospital bed? You think any amount of worry ever healed anybody? If you worry really harder, any amount of worry ever paid your bills? What if you worried really, really hard? No. Never has. Some future day, all of mankind will hear one of two phrases. They'll either hear Matthew 25:23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Or they're going to hear Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Everybody's going to hear one or the other. Are words important? Are God's words important? Yeah, they're not just floating out there at random, right? Are your words important? That's what we're trying to get across this morning. What if everything you speak, let me qualify that you actually believe? If I say, man, I'm freezing to death, I don't believe that. If I was in Alaska and I just fell through the ice and my sled dog team just ran away and I said, I'm freezing to death, that, you know, that might be different. But I don't believe that. Those words, they don't count because I don't believe those words myself, that I'm freezing to death. But the words that you do believe count. What if everything you speak came into existence? I mean, what if somebody's right on your bumper and just riding your bumper and they finally whip around you and cut you off, almost put you into the ditch, and then zoom off down the road and you go, man, I wish that guy would just miss a curve and roll over. What if everything you said happened? Be careful on some of this stuff, wouldn't we? I remember when I was in my 20s, there was somebody that was very destructive to our family. Very, very, very destructive. I remember I was working as a probation and parole officer at the time, and I was walking across a bridge in Janesville, and I was thinking about different ways that this guy could die without it being connected to me. Isn't that weird? That's crazy, I think. That's what I was doing. I was thinking now, you know, car accidents, maybe somebody robbed him and killed. I was trying to think of different ways that this guy could die without me being connected to it. It's just fantasy thinking. Then I thought, what am I doing? Even though this guy was bad news and destructive, I was trying to figure out ways that he could be gone. Just daydreaming about it. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but that's kind of scary, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Oh, by the way, that guy is now born again and will be joining us in heaven, so I'll probably hang out with him. Mark 11:23 says, if anyone says to this mountain, notice the word says, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, that's the word believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I wonder if that is accurate. It's in the Bible, isn't it? Who said that? Jesus. You think Jesus was making that up? Jesus said, but believes that what he says will happen, it's going to happen. That's what Jesus said. How careful are you with your words? How careful was Jesus with his words? Very careful. Did everything that Jesus say, this is a trick question, but it's a double trick question. Did everything that Jesus say come into existence? Think about it for a second. Scan your brain, scan your Bible. As far as we know, it did. I know some people say in his own hometown he could do no mighty miracles, but it doesn't say he tried to do them and failed. Jesus simply didn't respond when there wasn't any faith. How do I know that? Matthew 8:22, Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. Don't waste your time or energy with those who refuse to believe. They're going to do what they're going to do. Another verse, Matthew 7:6, don't cast your pearls before the swine, which means, if you know that a person will not respect the value of the truth of the Word of God, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Well, I thought I'm supposed to evangelize the entire world and go to every person. You better hear from the Spirit of God before you go and speak to anybody for any reason. Not everybody is ready to hear what you have to say. It's a waste of time. And other people, God will send you to them and they will reject the word, but God's given opportunity at that moment. I know we want to just flood the whole world with the message of Christ, but they're not ready. They're in. When I was in coffee house ministry with Pastor Shelley, this youth ministry for about 6 years, they had this movie they showed us called The Gospel Blimp. And they were trying to reach the whole neighborhood because their next door neighbor was unsaved. And so they're trying to reach them for Christ, and they couldn't figure out how they were going to do it. So they decided that they were going to rent a blimp, float over the city, and drop buckets of gospel tracts over the side, and so they would rain down on the whole city. Because they wanted to reach their next door neighbor that was unsaved. And so they got the money together, and they went up in the blimp, and they had everything printed, and they covered the town with these. And these papers, they clogged up everybody's gutters and drains and landed on their lawn and everywhere. The whole town was pretty upset with them. And they were discouraged, and it rained, and they got soggy. And so they come home discouraged and everything, and they look over, and the neighbor is having coffee with another neighbor in the back patio. And they're just having a nice time. They led the neighbor to the Lord. And they come over and they said, "How did you do it? How did you do it?" He said, "We invited him for coffee. We just think that if we saturate everything that it's going to have some effect." Yet a spirit-directed, spirit-led intersection at the right place at the right time with the right words. You need to be led by the Spirit of God in everything you do, even evangelizing the lost. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit stopped the Apostle Paul from going into a whole area? You think, yeah, but didn't they need the gospel? They were prevented from entering an area with a gospel message. So Jesus, it doesn't say that he tried and failed at all. It's simply he couldn't do it. But why couldn't he do it? Because he didn't encounter any faith, so why do it? We have a tendency to slap a prayer on everything without even checking with the Spirit most of the time. Somebody comes up, we just throw a prayer on it, see if it'll stick. But I think we get in such a habit of that we don't stop and say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do?" I know a person recently, this last year, it looked like they were 50-50 chance that they could live or die. They were in the hospital. I got the call. I jumped in the car, ran over. They were in so much pain. I couldn't believe it. I was driving them to the hospital, and they were I never seen them in that much pain in my life. Got them there, and it was a real crisis situation. So I went to pray, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't." Wow. I come home, Shelley says, "Well, did you pray?" I said, "The Holy Spirit said not to. Stopped me from praying." This person really didn't want to live, by the way. And Pastor Shelley went and told them, "Pastor Gary was going to pray for you, but the Holy Spirit said, don't pray for him." You know how he took it? It turned his life around. He realized, "Oh, no. How did I ever get to this position? If God is telling him not to pray, if I'm going to live, I need to be accountable and responsible." It turned his life around to where his attitude changed, and he decided he wanted to start living. Incredible. But I go to pray for him because he's in obvious pain and we're in the hospital, and the Holy Spirit says, "Don't touch him." Okay. Okay. And that man realized that he was on his own with God, that they were going to have to work it out. Well, what happened after Jesus could do no mighty miracles? He left town and took his words elsewhere. and began to teach, the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." We believe and we speak. How important are your words? The average person speaks, any guesses on how many words a year? 27,000, the average person. Oh, I'm married to a 36,000. Oh, my husband's about a 4,000, you know. The average person speaks 27,000 words. I wonder, out of those words, let's say you didn't know someone was keeping track of your words, and they intended at the end of 1 year for every word spoken that was a faith word, that was a God word, that was a truth word, that they get a dollar for every word, and they were going to pay them at the end of the year. Let's say they also were going to charge them a dollar for every worry word, every angry word, every word spoken that didn't have faith. Okay, so you get to the end of the year. Are you going to have money in the bank? Are you going to be deeply in debt? With 27,000 words, what do you think your life would be for that entire year? Not knowing that somebody was keeping track of it. Now, let's change that a little bit and say this. Let's say we start the year out the beginning and you know that every word's going to be kept track of, and you get a dollar for every positive word, and you lose a dollar for every negative word. It'd probably be different at the end of the year, wouldn't it be? Well, that's not a lot different than the way it really actually is in the spirit realm right now. God spoke everything into existence by faith. That's a given, right? We're in agreement with that? He spoke everything into existence. Why did he do that? Because that's the kind of supernatural being he is. That's his nature. He has an ability to believe something and speak it forth, and it happens. That's what he does. Now, the next thing is that he made us in his own image with an ability to communicate with him at his level. Now, a lot of people choke on that. I didn't say that you'll be all-knowing as God is all-knowing. I said you're able to communicate with him at his level. God didn't make a bunch of pets for heaven. Come here, Gary. Sit down right here, Gary. Oh, yeah, let me scratch behind your ear, Gary. Dogs are cool, right? But they fall short. You know, come here and watch the football game with me, Gary. Arf! Yeah. Fourth down, inches to go, and the dog wants to take a leak, you know. God made us in his own image. How do I know that he made us with an ability to communicate at his level? How do I know that? How do I know that? Well, have you ever prayed? Who do you believe you were talking to? Who do you believe you're talking to when you're praying? God? Do you really believe that? Yeah, I do. And God is understanding you. Of course he understands. He's God. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 8:26 that the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray? Helps us, right? Helps us in what way? Helps us communicate with God. He's basically our interpreter. Now, sometimes Shelley in Africa will sometimes use an interpreter at the different tribes. They've got a lot of different dialects. But even sometimes, they speak English as a primary language in Ghana. But they talk like this. When you talk to them, they talk like this. And you go, where did you learn English? They learned it from their parents, because that's what English sounds like to them. They talk like this all the time. And so you might need an interpreter to go, they said he talks like this all the time. You might need an interpreter interpret it English into English. Isn't that weird? I think it's so weird. But sometimes you have to have an interpreter that knows what you're talking about, help you interpret. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Helps us communicate with God. Now, we assume that God knows what we're talking about, right? Otherwise, why would we even say anything? What do you believe that revelation understanding is? Revelation, when the Word of God is revealed to you. That's God, what? Communicating to you. What is He going to tell you? What could God possibly tell you? Did He ever tell you about heaven? Do you believe there's a heaven? Did He ever tell you His character and His nature? Did He ever tell you about love, about sacrifice, about eternity? Did He ever tell you that stuff? How did He do that? Because that revelation came to you. It's not coming to everybody. That revelation isn't coming to the whole world. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says that there are those people that will be rejected based on what? They didn't believe. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says, "By this gospel you are saved." If God told you you're saved, how do you know that? I mean, Shelley and I was years and years ago in the 1970s. We were on staff with Calvary Community Church back in the 70s, and we decided we were going to join the church. We'd been there, part of the ministry for many years, and so they had us meet with our elder. They divided up by the alphabet, so we met with our elder that covered the S people, and we sat down there, and they wanted to interview us before they allowed us to be a church member. And so they asked the question, this guy did, he said, "Are you saved?" Well, we understood what he meant by that. Born again, accepted Christ, you know. We said, "Yes." We got that one. We nailed that one, you know. And he said this, "How do you know?" And we sat there and looked at each other. How do we know? How do we know? And I thought, they're not going to let us in. We don't have an answer. And he saw we were stuck. He saw we couldn't answer the question. And you'd think it'd be an easy question. How do you know that you're saved? Because a lot of Christians ask that question. They don't know the answer. They know the answer, "I'm saved." Got the first one. Nailed it for sure. The second one, "How do you know?" He saw we were stuck. And a gentleman that he was, he helped us get unstuck. He kind of leaned over and gave us a hint of the answer. He gave us the answer. He said, "Could it be that the Word of God says so?" If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That was in the Bible, right? In Romans chapter 10, right? So let's back up. The answer was, are you saved? The question was, are you saved? The answer was yes. The answer to the second question, how do you know? The answer would be, because I did what the Bible said. According to scriptures, if I did what the Bible said, if I actually believed in my heart that Jesus was resurrected, and I confessed Him with my mouth as Lord, and God is not a liar, it had to happen. So my basis is on the basis of the Word of God alone. The Word of God alone. That's why. By this gospel you are saved. By this what you are saved? If the gospel doesn't get in me by revelation, I'm not saved, am I? I've got to be able to take those gospel words and have them converted to a form that I understand. That form that I understand is God speaking to me. That's Him communicating at a level that I get. okay, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not electrically charged swamp slime. You made me and called me into existence. And at the end of this deal, I'm going back to you. And we're going to spend eternity together. I believe it. That's God communicating at a level that I can understand. Do you know anything else? If we wiped all thoughts of God out and then said, hey, go have a great life, how great would it be thinking that, yeah, it's just a countdown to nothingness, right? Nothingness. Nothingness. Came from nothing, going to nothing. It's not worth anything in the middle. Yeah, my kids are worth something. No, they're worth nothing. They're going into nothing too. And the kids after that, and the kids after that, and the kids after that. How'd you like to live with no hope? I shared this recently, but it bears repeating. I was doing a domestic violence group at a clinic a couple years back. And when we arrived early, we were sitting in a circle in the area where we met. Probably about 15, 18 people were in the group. And this young man that's never been came in, and he's about 20 years old. He sat straight across from me as the other people are still coming in. And so he looks up at me, and he says, you should be an atheist like me. He hasn't even met me yet. He doesn't know whether I'm an atheist or not. But he decides that he says, you should be an atheist like me. Well, what should I say? I said, if I was an atheist, I'd kill you. I said, I would do you damage, and I wouldn't care. Because what's the penalty? Nothing. It wouldn't matter. He was shocked. He thought being an atheist was the best thing it could be. And I said, I would do you damage. Living without God, you have a tendency to do people damage. And you don't care. Hurt me, I hurt you. If I think you're going to hurt me, I'll hurt you first. Because that's the way the world thinks. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. The earlier question was the main focus this morning was, what if everything you speak that you actually believe comes into existence? How do you know that it doesn't? How do you know that it doesn't? As far as I can tell, the words that we believe and we speak come into existence. That's why we're so careful. People think that words are just like a tool to be able to interact and communicate. They're a spiritual phenomena that will change your destiny from hell to heaven and change the eternal destinies of other people. It'll change the economy and finances in your home. Your words will. It'll change your protection. It'll change your provision. It'll change your relationships. They're spiritually powerful pieces that God gave us. He believes things and spoke them into existence. We have that same power. Anybody ever gone through a gun safety course? Probably some of you have, or some have been in the military or Boy Scouts or whatever. They teach us about guns that they could be used for good or bad. And you think, well, that's obvious. I don't know. They tell you, don't look down the end of the barrel. Treat every gun as if it's always loaded. Know your target beyond and all that kind of stuff. And you realize the same thing that you intend to go one direction goes the other direction, right? Anybody ever been shot? Maybe you have. I don't know. It hurts. That same thing with words. You think, well, they're going out, right? They might be coming back. The devil cannot do anything to you unless he can get you to believe and speak something contrary to the word of God. He does not have the power to enter your life and do anything to you. Well, he can just come in anytime he wants. No, he can't. He does not have any legal authority to enter anyone's life. He has to wait for you to believe something and speak it before he can act on it. No, I thought he could just come and just wreck your life anytime he wants. Nope. The door to your life is right here, your mouth. That's the door. He cannot touch you if he's got no words to work. Like Jesus said, he's got no part in me. He's got nothing on me. Why? The devil couldn't find a single word that Jesus spoke that he could use against him. None. John chapter 17. Hallelujah. This is Jesus praying. Anybody ever want to wonder about, I wonder what Jesus said when he prayed? Wouldn't you like to be sitting in a corner quietly listening to what Jesus said? Well, first of all, when Jesus spoke to God, he told him the obvious. What do you mean? Father God knows everything. Any prayer that you say to God, he already knows ahead of time. You're not telling him any new information. What are you telling him then if you're not telling him new information? You're telling him what your beliefs are. Isn't that interesting? It's not new information, but it's necessary that they be spoken. Necessary that they be spoken. Didn't the Bible say he knows what you're going to ask before you ask, but ask anyway? Well, why do I have to do that? If he already knows what I'm going to ask for, why should I go through all the effort of asking since he knows ahead of time? It isn't about the asking or him answering. It's about getting your words into action. He's got to have something that he can act on. Why? Because in Genesis it said, man shall rule over all the earth. What man says is what goes. So Jesus is saying here in John chapter 17, I'll start at verse 5, and this will be our final scripture of the morning. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me comes from you. I gave them the words you gave me. Did you hear that? I gave them what? I gave them words. This morning I said, as a pastor, God told me my job is to give words. Your job as a Christian is to give words. And they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. That's covenant talk, by the way. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. Anybody here still in the world? And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. Now listen carefully to these next two lines. But I say these things while I am still in the world. Did you hear that? Jesus had to get the words out. Why? Those words would then stay in the world. He had to get those words out so they could produce in the future. He had to say them as a human being while he was here to get them out into everyone's future, including ours. I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, etc. Hallelujah. Your word is going to create your future. Now, to think that, well, it really doesn't matter what I say, that would be inaccurate. You will call things into existence just as fast in the negative. Your faith will work in both directions. Fear is just the counterpart of faith, an expected loss, where faith is an expected gain. That's why words are so powerful. I'm wondering if 27,000 words might be a little too much. I'm wondering if I could not pare it down to maybe about just 20,000 words, carefully selected words. Get rid of a bunch of the words that shouldn't be coming out of my mouth at all and finish the year in better shape than I was ever before. Because those words that I have spoken into existence, I will live into. My life will meet them in the future. My life is going to live right into them because they went out ahead of me. And I'm going to live into them and meet them. With faith and patience, they will show up. All of them. All of them. All of them. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Some of you are a little nervous about this. You don't understand what power you just was presented to you this morning? That you could change starting on a Sunday afternoon. You can change everything. You can turn things around. Hallelujah. Anybody here like driving without brakes? No. I drove up to a stop sign in my truck yesterday, and it occurred to me, your brakes are going out. And I thought, what? And I'm hesitant because I'm behind another car, you know? There's a little bit of a grab to it, like that. And I thought, I didn't know, not know what that is. So I started planning in front of me that anticipation of that. I thought, brakes going out in a truck? Brakes going out in a truck? And I eased up to the stop sign, and it seemed like my brakes were okay. But it was like brakes going out in a truck. Is what. So I was careful. I've driven without brakes before. I grew up in a junkyard. We drove all sorts of things that didn't have brakes. You just knew how to grind the gears and throw it into park, and, you know, it didn't matter. It was a junkyard. But we'd like to stop a few things that we've already started, right? And we need to hit the brakes on some of the things we're saying and reverse course with our words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not so sure that it wasn't seeing what happened to you in the spirit, by the way. You know, because it wasn't me. It wasn't me that had the brakes out, but I saw that. And so I was preparing for it. I remember showing up to church one Sunday morning, and my hip was really killing me. And I was like, ah, I'm up in the front row. I'm supposed to preach. We believe in healing. And I'm standing up there during praise and worship, and the Holy, it occurs to me that I don't have a hip problem. And I thought, I don't have a hip problem? The Holy Spirit said, it's not your pain. It belongs to a lady in the church. I didn't know it, but a lady had come in and wasn't going to come to church because she couldn't make it up the steps. And she sat in the back row. And she was in so much pain. And I thought, well, I'm going to stand up and turn around and call it out. I might look foolish, but I said, somebody here is in serious pain in their hip. And it's a lady. Who is that? Well, she raised her hand in the back row and came up the aisle. We prayed for her, and instantly she was healed. She went on to serve God in India for 3 years after that. But the point was, it wasn't my pain. Don't assume that every hurt you have in your body belongs to you. A lot of Christians do that. Shelley and I have found out that if we hurt somewhere and it came out of nowhere, we stop and start praying for whoever that is. Because God will show you in your body where somebody else hurts. And you often can't get rid of it till they get relief. And so now, if I have a symptom in my body, first of all, I wonder who it is. If it's me, fine, I'll deal with it. But I ask God, and He'll have me pray where that symptom or that hurt or pain is, identifying it. Hallelujah. It gets fun with God after a while. Remember what Jesus said? I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy. It's supposed to be fun, or you're not doing it right. Hallelujah. Okay, so anybody here right now ready for a reversal of some of the things they've been saying? Yep. And that's simply put the brakes on. Don't say anymore. And start reversing those words. Is it going to help? I guarantee it. It's a scriptural principle. I absolutely guarantee it. The scripture by which I stand on and quote guarantees it. And when I say I am simply alluding to the truth of the scripture here. You know all that, right? The scripture guarantees it, of which I speak of. Hallelujah. So let's say this now before the Lord, okay? I want you to repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me reverse my words by the Holy Spirit. Words of life I will begin to speak. I will stop using words of worry, words of strife, words of anger, words of lack. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you what just happened. Who just spoke those words? Did you believe it while we were... Then you just called what we just spoke into existence in the spirit realm. And God is actively involved in each one of us to help us move our lives forward. Hallelujah. 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 God, you're so good to us. Your word is so good. It is the good news. It is the only news that we need to hear. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for your example. We thank you, Holy Spirit, greater one inside of us. We thank you, Lord, that the words that were spoken today just changed our destiny and the people around us. Hallelujah. Your word is true. You are true. Everything about you is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. Bless God. Have a blessed day. It's supposed to still be in the 70s today. Yeah, as the rain comes. So we passed into the autumn, and here we go. Are you ready for a good autumn, a good fall? You ready for October? Bless God. Be a blessing today wherever you go, whatever you speak. Amen. We're dismissed.